Good to see everybody who made it out tonight. We're going to have a lesson called winterizing. And to be honest, what we talk about when we talk about winterizing may not have the same effect here in California, in the Bay Area, as it would in other parts of the country. Some of us are well familiar with other parts of the country and the needs of getting prepared for winter. And then, of course, getting prepared for other things as well along the Gulf Coast. We had to always be ready, and when the forecast said there was a tropical storm or a hurricane coming, we had to get prepared. And so that's going to be a lesson along that line. And I'm sure a lot of us have seen the pictures on Facebook. You know, they have this little meme says, when a storm is coming, the store shelves are empty. Right? We've seen that one. Jesus is coming, nobody cares. And that's the way the world operates. And a lot of times, members of the church seem to go along with the world in this respect, and the fact that, well, he's not coming. And so I've got plenty of time. I'll have my fun and get straightened out later on. And we're not guaranteed of tomorrow, so we have to be ready for that. But this lesson is based on a little thing called winterizing and getting prepared for harsh weather. And primarily it has to do with our automobiles. See, before the harsh weather gets here, it's time to winterize our vehicles. And that means go through and do the check and check different parts of it. Our vehicles need to be ready to operate when needed and operate in under the conditions that they might be in. And of course, a lot of people understand this principle. Even airplanes have to have special coating in the winter time and things like that. And it is no fun to work on a vehicle when the weather is below freezing. I have been out there working on vehicles when it was below freezing, and it is no fun. You're like this, and you're supposed to be turning a wrench or something. It is cold. And it does happen that way. And so it's no fun. So you get ready before. All right. Let's not forget our homes, too. Winter comes, what do? Well, let's see. We need to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. I mean, we check our furnace, right? Make sure it's ready. Caution is usually taken when not necessary. Yeah, it might be nice and warm outside, but you got to call the man and say, hey, come check out the air conditioner or the heater, make sure it's going to work properly. And so we do that usually when it's not necessary at that time. But to not be prepared is dangerous. We see the results of people not being prepared. We saw it down along the Gulf Coast when these massive hurricanes were approaching. People weren't prepared. They'd been gone for 20 or 30 years and no hurricanes had come along, so they just kind of let their guard down. All of a sudden, one starts coming, everybody panics. It's crazy out there. And it really is scary. When a hurricane, right after Katrina, a few months after Katrina, Hurricane Rita came through. And it came through about 100 miles to the east of us, and it really wasn't going to be bad in Houston, but all the news forecast, everybody evacuate, evacuate! Millions of people got on the roadways. And it was crazy. Deadlock traffic, people were getting nervous, they were getting basically all freaked out about this, and man, they started doing some crazy things. I mean, jumping over and driving on the other side of the freeway and taking things that weren't even lanes, running across roads and fields and things like that. It was a virtual panic for a lot of these people. And it was so dangerous to be out there. And then all of a sudden, the hurricane wasn't as bad as what they thought it might be. But yet, in all the panic, several people lost their lives. About 30 people lost their lives because they were doing something stupid. People get out there, they deadlocked, they ran out of fuel. There were cars lined up and down the freeway, run out of fuel. And they had to get gas trucks come along and give them a few gallons. I mean, things get crazy when people are worried about this. And if they're not prepared, it is a very dangerous situation. Now, if you're prepared, you know what's going to happen. It's not so bad. We had Hurricane Ike come through in 2009. And this hurricane basically knocked out our power for 8 days. We were without power for 8 days. And when the hurricane comes through, we get out and assess the damage. It's not really that bad. But a day or two later, it gets very steamy. It gets very humid and hot. And then all of a sudden the mosquitoes show up. And it's literally miserable. And to try and sleep in that, you basically have to be dead tired, exhausted just to fall asleep. And then, of course, we were prepared. We had the water and we had some other supplies. Our neighbor had a generator, and so we kind of worked it out. Of course, we had to empty the freezer, and so we had a nice barbecue cookout, and we did that. But understanding this, people who aren't prepared, they're likely to die. When people don't have enough coal for their furnace up north, what happens? They run out, they get cold, and they die. This happens a lot up there. Every year we hear about that. A big major storm comes, and guess what? A lot of people die. Why? They were not prepared. All right, so, and of course, we buy insurance, right? In the hope that we do not need it. Yes, we need insurance. We have to pay for it. We pay year after year after year on this insurance, hoping that we don't need it. But then we decide, I've been spending all this money. I'm not going to pay it this year. And guess what happens? Yeah, it happens. I mean, it does happen. I can tell you that from experience. So anyway, we need to be prepared this winter, next winter, every winter, for our homes and our vehicles. Now, to make a spiritual application, let's look at this. What does this say about us? All right, we pay more attention to our vehicles than our souls. All right, you get me there? Yeah, we pay more attention to our vehicles than we do our souls. We're so worried about the transmission. We're worried about the gas prices. We're worried about the tires and if they're suitable. And we worry about this stuff. What are we doing about our soul? I mean, that kind of takes a low priority, it seems like. And we allow our vehicles to take precedence over God. And a lot of times we do. We do that. And our possessions have taken control and direct our lives. I mean, as long as the house is warm, and that's really all that we really care about. Our soul may not be warm, but the house is warm, so our bodies are warm, and so we think we're okay. We're going to look to see how we can protect our souls. And thinking along the same lines as protecting our vehicles, we're going to take care of our souls. Let's see how to do that. We need to check our antifreeze. Now, in this part of the country, if you have antifreeze or not, it really doesn't matter that much. I mean, it helps, but it really doesn't make that much difference. But believe me, other parts of the country, they need it. They need it real bad. They need to keep it in their vehicles because at any time, a freeze can come through. When I moved to Ranger, one of the ladies told me that back in 1951, it actually snowed in the month of July in Texas, if you can believe that. I mean, it happens. So, yeah, you need antifreeze all the time. We need to be filled with the right stuff or the results can be disastrous. And we know that. Now, what's some things we can be filled with? We need to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Colossians 1 and verse 9 says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." We need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. What is God's will? It's what He reveals to us in His Word. When we're filled with that, then we are in better shape. Remember the psalmist said, "Thy word I put in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119 and verse 11. We need to be filled with the Spirit, as Paul was in Acts 13:9. It says, Saul, who was also called Paul, was filled with the Spirit as he went and preached on his first missionary journey. Yes, we have the element of the Spirit that we can fill ourselves with, and that filling comes when we read and study God's Word. That's how we're filled with the Spirit of God. We read and study God's will. We put it into our mind and put it into our hearts and keep it there. That's when we're filled with the Spirit. We can also be filled with joy as we are helping people get their souls saved. We're actually benefiting our own souls when we do that. In Acts 13:52, these people were full of joy and comfort because of the message that was being preached. The church was growing, people were being saved, and there was joy in that. We need to experience that same kind of joy. And we need to help people get saved. And then, of course, comfort. He is the God of all comfort. And we must recognize that to be filled with comfort is something that we need. If we're not filled with comfort, what are we? We're grumpy. We're belligerent. And we're probably mean. But if we're comfortable with ourselves, comfortable with our lives, guess what? We're a joy to be around. People want to spend time with us. We don't want to spend time with grumpy people. You know that. You know grumpy people? You avoid them, don't you? And we stay away from them as best you can. Sometimes in the workplace, you can't avoid them. But, yes, we don't want to be around grumpy people. So, we need to be full of comfort and be comfortable with our surroundings. We can also be filled with the fullness of God. When we contemplate and we get in our mind, we've taken the Word of God, we put it in our hearts, we have a relationship with God. Just the measure of the fullness of God, understanding God in all of His forms, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's a relationship that I'm in. That gives me the fullness of God, the comfort of knowing my God. And He is within me, as He promised. He would be in me. And so, when we check our antifreeze, we need to have the right ingredients. We need to check our heater or furnace. See, we need to transfer warmth. Warmth is usually something that is a good feeling, right? You like that. I remember reading from the Reader's Digest many years ago. Someone wants to feel warmth. What do? They take a blanket, go out, put it in the dryer, let it run for about 30 minutes to an hour. Then they pull it out, put it all around them. And they say, you know, this is the feeling when your child wraps their arms around you. Same feeling. And it's so nice. It's comforting. I know a lot of hospitals, you're laying there and you're getting cold. And they go over to this heater and bring out a nice warm blanket and put it on you, and it's basically helps you a lot instead of shivering there. But anyway, we need to transfer this warmth to others. See, we need to be kindly affectionate with one another. Romans 12 and verse 10, that's what it says. Be kindly affectionate one to another. In other words, we provoke one another to these things. We're to be there for each other. We're to treat them much better than we treat anybody else. And that's what we're supposed to do. And this gives us a feeling of security. It gives us a feeling of being included. And that in itself warms our soul. See, praise can do this. When someone gives you praise, and, you know, even Paul talked to Corinthians about this. You know, there's some things they were doing. He says, in this I do not praise you. I do not. But what we can do when we do God's will, and we get others to do God's will, praise is something that we deserve. And then prayer can also do this. As we do pray for each other, as we should, not only publicly, but privately. We need to be praying for our church family all the time, not just when we gather together, but all the time. When we say our nightly prayers or morning prayers, we need to include the church there. And when we do that, that tells us that we have an affection towards these brethren. And then providing for others. Other people need assistance. Sometimes they need help. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's some other method. But providing that for you should make us feel good. Because we get the idea of what Jesus was talking in his stories, how this man fell among the thieves, and then the Levite and the priest walked right past him, and then this stinking Samaritan comes along and takes care of him. And so providing for others can make us feel good and gives us a sense of warmth that we think about. We also have to be aware for the need of alarm systems, don't we? We need to have alarm systems. Some of us have it on our cars. And someone starts messing with your car, it starts honking and beeping and making all sorts of annoying noises. And it does that. Our houses, we need alarms in that sometimes because people have been broken into. So they get an alarm system for the house. And of course, we know about other types of alarm systems as well. And you never know when you might need it. But if it's not working, you got a problem, right? There was in the Midwest, somewhere in Oklahoma, there was an inspector came along, was checking out the fire system for this hospital. It had been in place about 40 years. And they were going through, checking on, make sure everything was working, and they discovered something. In this fire system that had the sprinklers all above, the sprinklers were never connected to the water system ever before that. They were just lucky nothing had ever happened. But it was just an oversight by the builders. They just didn't connect up the water system. So you never know when you might need it. See, carbon monoxide, very dangerous. I've known people who died because of carbon monoxide. And that is a definite problem. And it happened several times during those hurricanes I talked about. People set up, stupidly, they set up their generators inside the living room. And they died. And they would do that. So, I mean, yeah, a little common sense goes a long way. All right. Also, fire alarm systems. Yes, we need those. And then, of course, we also need theft for these alarm systems. And we're to always be prepared, right? We're supposed to be paying attention. Watch out. How many times did Jesus tell, watch out? Be on the watch. Be on the alert. I mean, Peter tells us there in Peter, be on the alert. Your devil walks about like a prowling lion. All right. Watch, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Matthew 24, 42 through 51, he talks about that. And you know what? We don't know the hour that the Lord is coming. And what are we doing about it? Are we making sure we're prepared, or we're just taking our chances? I'm waiting that maybe we can get a little bit older before when we can't do anything anymore, then we straighten up and try and live right. You know, seldom works out that way. We don't know when he's coming. And then, yes, we just do need to make general adjustments from time to time. Sometimes we all need a little adjustment. Sometimes it's in our behavior. Sometimes it's in our attitude. And we need to be aware of that. And we all know our lives do not run smoothly all the time. Does anybody here have a life that runs smoothly all the time? I didn't think so. I mean, things happen. It seems like every day things happen. You get one bill paid off, say, oh boy, now he starts a savings account. Something else happens. It always happens. Either that or your kids have problems or something. And so we never get caught up. Things don't run smoothly as we think they should. So we need to set the timing. on a car? Russell can explain what the timing does for a car probably better than anyone in this room. But I know this, that autos run smoother with the right timing. If they don't have the right timing, they're going to do stupid things like get backfire or sluggish performance, or they may not even run at all. But you know what? The Bible tells us we need to tune up each other. See, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 talks about this, that we need to stimulate one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but the encouraging of one another, all the more as we see the day approaching. Yes, as a congregation, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be tuning each other up for the Lord's service. What do we normally do most of the time? We talk about the weather, we talk about the 49ers, we talk about this or that, we talk about work, we talk about autos, we talk about everything else, except spiritual strength. When was the last time you talked to a brother about spiritual strength? Think about that. We got to encourage each other. We got to build each other up. We've got to help each other. Get our mind focused on Jesus. Get our mind focused on God and His Word. We need to tune each other up, and so that we can run smoothly. And yes, we need to adjust our headlights. Yeah, sometimes you think about headlights. Okay, this right here. Yeah, sometimes we need a new prescription for our eyes so we can see better. Sometimes it's easier to see something without your glasses than with your glasses. Some people can't see anything without their glasses. So they understand the importance of adjusting your headlights. But that's not what we're talking about. See, the improper alignment can cause dangerous situations. You know, years ago in auto inspections, they used to basically have some screws on each headlight so that if it was pointed up too high, it's blinding people, so they could adjust it so it'd get down lower so it wouldn't shine in the light, in the eyes of the oncoming traffic. And so that can be dangerous. Or if one is shooting off this direction, one off that direction, what do you see? You can't see going forward. So yes, improper alignment can cause dangerous situations. And your lights do not properly light the way. If you're driving along and all of a sudden your lights at night, your lights go out, what do? I know what I do. I slam on the brakes because I don't know what's up ahead. Unless I really know the area, but I guarantee you I'm going to slow down to a snail's pace because you never know what's out there, what might be there. So we need those lights, and it can be a hazard to other drivers. How many times you drive around at night and see somebody driving with no lights on at all? You know, that's dangerous. I pull out of my driveway and I have to look both ways at nighttime. If I don't see any headlights coming, guess what? I'm heading out in the street. And if there's somebody driving without their headlights, it can be pretty dangerous. It's a hazardous. And it just scares me whenever I see somebody pulling out on the street without their headlights on. And what's really crazy is they drive several miles before they do, if they ever turn the lights on. We know that our light is to shine, but it needs to shine properly. You know, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. I mean, we've got to do this, and there's a couple things, like I said, we need to do it properly. First of all, we should not force our light upon others, but we should force it upon their pathway. We should be showing them the way, showing them the proper way, and showing them how to avoid the pitfalls and the dangers and the stumbling blocks that might be there. And yes, there's times we just need to adjust the brakes. See, it's important to make the vehicle go, but safer for it to stop when we need it to stop. A lot of people, they work hard, I gotta get my car going fast, but then they neglect their brakes, and guess what? They have problems. We need our vehicles to stop. Otherwise, somebody else can be hurt. We can be hurt. But we should pray to God for the wisdom to know when to stop. Some people don't know when to stop. They get busy. They get busy doing things for others. They help each other, and they're enjoying it, but they're just go, 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 and before you know it, they collapse. They've overworked themselves. Sometimes we know when to stop. Jesus said you got to know when to stop arguing with somebody who's not going to listen to you. He says basically, don't throw your pearls before the swine. They'll trample the pearls and they'll turn on you. And we also need to know that if people are going to reject God, we need to walk away. As Jesus told the 70, you shake the dust off your feet and keep going. There's people out there who wanted to hear about the kingdom of God. And if a town says, I don't want to hear this, then don't waste your time. A lot of times we've got to know. But in James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him pray to God and God will supply it abundantly. We need to have the wisdom to know when we need to stop and if we can keep proceeding. And of course, controlling the tongue, the hardest thing to do. And that's very true. We know this. A lot of people don't know how to control the tongue. They've never been taught. They've never been chastised. They've never been basically told how to control the tongue. It is very hard, and the tongue does a lot. And the tongue can do a lot of damage. You can have a friendship that is 30 and 40 years old. You just say the wrong thing. Guess what? That there's damage there. And it takes a long time to rebuild whatever relationship was lost, if it ever gets back to that. So yes, sometimes we need to adjust the brakes. I was years ago, I was a member of a congregation in just north of Houston, and one of our members was a sheriff's deputy, but he was trying to get a lot done, so he was working three jobs. One night on his way home, he fell asleep. Truck ran off into the ditch, busted up his hip and his legs, and nearly killed him. He was in a coma for 2 or 3 days in the intensive care unit. And I went to visit him one day, and he says, you know, I think God's telling me I need to slow down. And yes, and I've seen others who basically had a similar situation tell me the same thing. Maybe God is telling me I need to slow down. And then, of course, I'm sure you're all expecting this one. Get in alignment. Yes, we need alignment. We know what it does to a car when it's out of alignment. It ruins the tires, and you have to keep buying tires over and over. And sometimes it does worse than that. And sometimes you see trucks that need alignment. Have you ever seen a truck going at a 30-degree angle down the road? Russell has. That's because the tires are out of alignment. And the truck's going down the aisle, but the truck's hanging out on the side of the road going down the road. See, it causes tires to go bad and vibrations and other problems. You ever been there and your steering wheel just vibrate on you? That's probably a reason you need to adjust, get in alignment. But for us, spiritually speaking, we need to align our hearts into the love of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 tells us that. That's where we need to be. We need to align ourselves, get ourselves on the right path with God, in a right relationship with God. And when we do that, our life goes smoother. That's something, if you haven't really spent a lot of time and effort trying to be a Christian, you may not understand this. But when you're trying to live according to God's word, it's seems like you're blessed so well, and things just work out all the time. Things work out for you, and it's just like in some cases things just fall into place at the right time. And that's because of our understanding, our mind. You know, Paul said contentment with godliness is great gain. And he told the Philippians, you need to learn to be content in all situations. Paul used himself as an example. I can be content in prosperity, and I can be content in poverty. Just learning to be content. There's a quality which the world does not know. And a lot of times Christians don't know it because they haven't tried it. If we can just learn to be content with what God has allowed us to have, our life is so much simpler. It is easy to get sidetracked in this world. We know that. We talk about it all the time. And it does happen. And the remedy is found in Philippians 4:8. If you think about it, whatever is good, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is of good report, think on these things. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Think on the things of God, and this world won't look so bad. So align yourself with God and not the world. James 4:4 talks about those who would be a friend to the world make themselves an enemy of God. So align yourself with God. Get on His team. Get with Him. And things will be better, especially for your souls. See, we all can know the importance and necessity of keeping our vehicles in top-notch running performance. Yes, we do. We know that. Keeping our heating system up to date and working properly. Maybe if you're lucky to have air conditioning, make sure that's working right. I mean, we know the importance of being prepared, don't we? Yes, everywhere, wherever it might be. I know up there just in the hills, just not far from here. They know the importance of being ready to go when there's a fire down the road. They understand that. We need to be prepared for whatever situation might come up. And we know it is safer and safer for our loved ones when we are prepared. But our soul also needs to be maintained in similar fashion. We need to maintain our souls here. And so the question, do you need to winterize your soul? Have you spent the time and effort on your soul that you spend on your vehicle? Just something to consider. And that's our lesson for this evening. We always offer the invitation, if anyone has a need to respond, I invite you to come while we stand and sing.